All right, so we're holding on Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, about halfway down, a bit more than halfway down the Amud.
Okay.
What? The line starts Shel Shvi'is. Okay, so we left off like this. We're in the middle of figuring out. In our Mishnah, Rav Shimon had said that if you have korbanos of different types, which have the same matan yomim, they have the same blood that applied to the mizbeach the same way, so you don't have an issue with that, but they have differences as far as when and where. Yes. If you have different types that are mixed together, they have, as far as the blood, they're the same, but as far as the dinim of when and where they can be, and who can eat them, they're different. Rav Shimon says, fine, go ahead and be makir them, because, and all it means is then you'll have to eat all of them following the rules of the stricter one. So if it's an Asher and a Shlomim is the example of the Mishnah, then you would have to shech them on the north, and you would have to eat them all as if they were an Asher. So even though a Shlomim...
He said a previous parrot that they can be transferred from one from...
Not that they're being transferred from one to the other. First of all, that was as far as Oilos and Chaf. That was as far as an Oilos is being transformed into a Chaf. That was a different thing. No, we're talking about... We're not saying the Asher is going to remain an Asher, the Shlomim is going to remain a Shlomim. Each one, when they do the various avodas, whoever shechts it, and when the kohen does the remaining avodas, they're going to have in mind, if this one is the asham, then I'm doing it as an asham. If this one is a shlomim, then I'm doing it as a shlomim. That's fine. The problem becomes, what do we do then later on as far as eating it? The one that's a shlomim, anybody could be eating anywhere in Yerushalayim for 2 days and a night. The one that... Listen. There's two different things. As far as the avodah, all it is you have to have in mind during the avodah that if this one is the asham, then it'll be the asham. If this one is a shlomim, then it'll be a shlomim. That's not the issue. The issue is, can we do that, considering that afterwards, when it comes to eating it, the one that was a shlomim would have had 2 days and a night to eat it. Anybody could be eating it anywhere in Yerushalayim. The one that was an asham, only kohenim could be eating, only in the azara, only for 1 day and one night. Can you do that? Rav Shimon says, yes, go ahead and do that. You'll eat them, the Kohenim will eat both of them within 1 day and one night, and that's that. And inside the Azara, the Chachamim say, no, Eimavim Kodshim will base up soul. You can't bring about a situation where Kodshim are going to become fossil. Here you have, you're taking away an extra day that you could have eaten the Shlomim, and you're making it can only be eaten in the Azara and only by Kohenim. You can't do that. There's not a problem what they have in mind. If someone don't have a problem with what he has in mind, fine, let him have in mind. If this was an ashram, then it's an ashram. The problem is as far as how long do you have to eat it? This particular piece of meat, when you're eating it, is this from the shlomim and you have 2 days and one night to eat it, or is this particular piece from the ashram and you have only a day and a night to eat it? The Chachamim say, you can't do that. You can't check a carbon having in mind that it is or may or whatever be a shlomim, and then in such a circumstance where you're not going to be able to eat it, where you're not going to be able to eat it for the full amount of time that it could be. Yeah. So therefore, so the Chachamim say, instead what you have to do is wait till the animals develop a mum and then sell them, and then buy new animals and send them for korbanos, and then the ashram will be brought as an ashram and eaten during its deadline, and the shlomim will be brought as a shlomim, and then the money for the shlomim will be used to buy a shlomim and they'll be eaten during its deadline. So that led us into a discussion of the general question of this concept of Eimavim Kodshim Lebeitav Sol. Are we saying that Rav Shimon says you can do such a thing with Achila, or is he saying only the Diyavit? Because the animals were already mixed together already over here, then you can go ahead and do this. But he wouldn't agree that you could do such a thing with Achila. So we talked about as far as using money of Shavuot fruit, of Shemitah fruit, to buy Truma, where you also have the same issue, that you're reducing the time and the amount and then the number of people that can get. So we said that Zava argued that no, maybe Rav Shimon would only agree that such a thing works the Diyavid. Maybe he wouldn't say the Hakila. So that led us into a discussion. Well, would Rav Shimon say that it's allowed the Hakila? We brought a case involving that you can use spices of Truma to flavor Kodshim, says Rav Shimon. But we said that's different. Spices of Truma, the Truma spice is only the Rabban. Then we said, what about though? We see that there's a Mishnah where Rav Shimon says that you're allowed to buy Truma with Maitre Sheni money. Again, you're causing restrictions over there because Truma can only be eaten by Kohenim, Maitre Sheni can only be eaten in Yerushalayim and not by an Onim and so forth. So Rava had no answer to that. The now we got to the next part of the discussion was that Abaya, that Rabbi Yosef says to Abaya, you know, there could have been a better proof you could have brought against Rabba from a case also involving Shavias and Truma, like the original case, namely, that, you know what, we may as well start over from Kiyofa Lekameh Rabbi Yosef in order not to be in the middle of the thing. So we'll start from a third of the way down, about seven lines from the top, then, line begins to lay. Okay, Kiyofa Lekameh Rabbi Yosef, when Abaya came to Rabbi Yosef to tell him what happened and how the discussion went, on the lay, he says to him, Amayel Echosim Eha. Why, instead of bringing as a contradiction to Rabba, who says that Reb Shimon says you can only do this kind of thing b'diyeva, not hafila, you brought him from the example where it says that you allow that he would allow you to buy truma with my sasheni money. Instead, why didn't you bring him a challenge from the following Mishnah? Either Rashi says you could have brought an addition, or Reb Akiva Eger says instead of, because this one talks about Truma and Shavias, which is exactly the same as the original Daraisa that he brought. Plus, also, this one is, on the face of it, talking about something where the Truma is Daraisa, unlike the other one where Rabba could deflect it and say that twice is only the Rabbanan. So why don't you bring him from the following Mishnah? You're not allowed to cook vegetables of Shavias, of Shmita, in oil of Truma, in order that you don't bring that kodshim, and something kodshim per se, but whatever, in order that you don't make them possible, because again, Shavias is going to be restrictions on for how long it can be eaten, because you have the time when there comes beer, when you have to discard, when you have to eat up, or discard, or remaster, or whatever. We said yesterday, it's a different species, it's a different time. But here we're talking about, in other words, Yerek Shal Shavias, so whatever kind of vegetables it is, there comes a point for each species of vegetables, when you don't find any more of them out in the field, then at that point you're not allowed to have any more of it in your house. You're not allowed to cook it in oil of truma, so you view cod truma based on stool in order that you don't cause a stool over here, because again, you have the problem that either the problem is on the truma side of things, because now you're making that the truma oil is going to have to be misfire, is going to have to be destroyed or made hector together with the vegetable which it is. Or the problem is the other way around, if you're taking Shavias and restricting the use of it only to Koyman, whatever it is, Rav Shimon Matir. Shall I give you a question later? So, Rav Shimon Matir, and Rav Shimon says it's Matir. So why didn't you, so Rav Yosef said, why don't you bring him from that Mishnah? Instead of bringing him from the case of Maitre Sheni and Truma, bring him from this. Rashi says not instead of, Rashi says in addition to. Besides the Mishnah and Maitre Sheni, you could have brought him this Mishnah. Rav Akiva Eger says instead, it means you should have brought it instead, because this one has an advantage, because both are talking about Shavias and Truma, like the other one. Amalei Abaya, Abaya answers, I didn't ask him from this Mishnah, because v'lav mi oisvise mehod etavlin, because after all, I already tried to slug him up using the Mishnah, using the Mishnah involving using spices of Truma, v'amalei hanach l'truma tavlin d'rabbanan, and he said, never mind Truma of spices, that's only d'rabbanan. Hachanami, Truma, Yerek, Dirabanan. Over here, we're talking about Truma of vegetables, which is also only Dirabanan. Now, we talked about that at the end yesterday, but I'll read it again today about what the Shittim Kubetra says on it. But wait, on the face of it, Abaya is saying that we're talking about Truma of vegetables, which is Dirabanan. So therefore, I didn't bother mentioning it, because Rabba could slug it up the same way. So the question is, yeah, but if we're talking about vegetables, if we're talking about the truma, that the vegetables are truma rather than their shriyat, it's from a boil of the mishnah. Then, says Rav Yosef, the Mishnah should have been phrased the other way around. Yerek shal truma v'shemen shal shriyat. It should have said vegetables of truma in oil of shriyat. The fact that it says vegetables of shriyat in oil of truma, where vegetables shriyat applies to them equally as much as it does to food, that and oil, the pasture seems olive oil, which definitely is higher than truma d'araisa. So therefore, on the face of it, we are talking about something truma. We're talking about truma d'araisa. So therefore, still says Rav Yosef to Abaya, you could have asked him from this Mishnah. He couldn't have deflected it by saying we're only talking about d'rabbanan, because the fact is, the Mishnah is phrased in such a way that it's apparently talking about truma d'araisa. Right, so we mentioned at the end yesterday that the Shittim Kubetas argues and says, I mean, so then what was Abaya thinking? He knows the wording of the Mishnah, he knows the Mishnah says Yerek, he knows the Mishnah says vegetables of Shavias in oil of Truma. What makes him think we're talking about Truma Dirabban over here? So he says that what it is he assumed that maybe you could answer that the oil of Truma over here is talking about, for example, sesame seed oil, which is also only Dirabban. And Rabbi Yosef answers him, fine, but if the Mishnah wanted to tell us that Rabbi Shimon holds you can do such a thing only b'di'evit, which is what Rabba is saying, then the Mishnah should have phrased it more clearly by saying that the vegetables are truma, where then it's unequivocal that we're talking about truma d'rabbanan, rather than mentioning oil, which could mean d'araisa as in olive oil, or it could mean d'rabbanan as in sesame oil. So the fact that it didn't phrase it that way, the fact that it
you have to assume that it could mean also oil d'araisa.
That's the point, says Rabbi Yosef. If the Mishnah was meant to imply Rabba's point, that even Rav Shimon allows the thing only to be the Eben, not Hakila, it would have been more specific. It would have mentioned vegetables of Truma, and it would have been clear that we're talking about Truma de Rabban. Okay, fine. So, continues Abaya. Okay, but still, you're saying why shouldn't I have used this Mishnah from Shavius? I'll tell you why I didn't. The Lav Mi Oisvisim and Asmitim. After all, didn't I try to slug up Rabba from our Mishnah? The Matzah of Shimon, where Rav Shimon allows you to be Matzah of the Korbanos that got mixed up. But Amali D'Arav, and he told me the difference is that in our Mishnah, the Korbanos, the animals already were mixed up, so therefore it's like a B'di'evit situation. Well, Hachanami D'Arav. Then in that case, Rabba would have answered me. If I had brought him this Mishnah about the vegetables, about the vegetables and the oil, he would have answered me that the situation is, the Mishnah is talking about, where the vegetables were already mixed in with the oil. B'di'evit, and therefore Rav Shimon allows you to cook them together. Well, the question is, D'Arav, my time, I did Rabbanan. Okay, but if they're already mixed together, then why is the Rabbanan saying that you can't cook them together? If they're already mixed, what do you have to lose by cooking them?
Well, it's mixed, you don't need it here
nor there. No, but again, if they weren't mixed, if we take the Mishnah that it's saying you're not allowed to l'chila take. That you're not allowed to like a taste or a frying pan and put oil truma in it and then cook in it vegetables of Shavuot, then fine. But if Abaya is saying to Rabbi Yosef, if I had brought this Mishnah to Rabba, he would have said that the Mishnah is talking about a case that they're already mixed. In that case, if they're already mixed, if you already soak the vegetables in oil, exactly. Why would the Rabbanan have a problem with you cooking it? It's already soaked in. There's nothing you can do about it at that point. The answer is maybe to have the Asham or Shlomim. The answer is fine, but the Chachamim could still say it's similar to the case of the Asham and the Shlomim of our Mishnah that got mixed up. They already got mixed up, and still the Chachamim say don't go ahead and be master them. Go and wait until they develop a mum and then sell them, etc. So the same way, you could argue, therefore, that the Chachamim would say the same thing in our case as far as the oil and the vegetables. Maybe the Chachamim would say the vegetables were already soaked in the oil. Fine, but stop right there. Don't go further and cook them. The same way as in our Mishnah, they would say, stop right there and don't be mocked with these ceremonies. The question is, me dummy, how do you think to compare? It's not similar at all. The difference is in our Mishnah, there is a way of salvaging the situation. You can go and wait and leave the animals to graze till they develop a womb, and then exchange them for money and use the money to buy new coronas. Over here, if the vegetables have already been mixed and soaked in the oil, then never mind not developing them. There's nothing you can do to get the oil out of the vegetables. It's already soaked in. Therefore, so continuing, therefore, what we should say, if you want to argue, therefore, that the Mishnah in Shavuot is talking about a case where the vegetables were already soaked into the oil, then we're back to the Chachamim should have no reason to be asking you from cooking them. It should be similar to the last case of our Mishnah, which is where you have a piece of meat from an Asham got mixed up with a piece of meat of a Shlomim. We're there. At that point, there's no Ri'iyah. They're already shechted and then cut up. And therefore, the Kibbutz...
And then they say, okay.
And over there they say, so you have to. Then they say, Yachl Chachamim Shabahem. You eat them according to the more stringent...
The case is
that you had to one person brought an oil, one person brought a shlomim, so no mix-ups, the shita, the kabbalah, etc., was all done properly. Then afterwards, they cut them up into pieces to cook them, and then at that point, pieces of them got mixed up. So now you're not sure which ones are to be eaten for one day and which ones for 2 days. Then we say, then everybody says in the Mishnah, you also cook chomer shebehen, you eat them according to the more stringent criteria. Because then you have no choice. There's no ri'iyah at that point. The alternative is to leave them to just become fossil, and we're not going to do that. So therefore, in that case, fine, then we'll have to have the curry, and we're going to have to eat all of them inside the Azara for only one day. So therefore, in our case, if the vegetables have already been soaked in the oil, same thing. The kibbutz the less takanta the oichol kachamah shabbat. Since in our Mishnah, when you have pieces of meat of different carbonates mixed together, there's nothing you can do about it. All you can do is eat them according to the more stringent criteria, according to the shorter deadline. So it should be the same thing over here. So if you're going to say that the Mishnah in Shavuot is saying you're not allowed to lahatchila put vegetables of oil and cook them in vegetables of Terumah and cook them in oil, or the other way around, vegetables of Shavuot and cook them in oil of Terumah, then fine, then you could use that Mishnah as another proof against Rabbah's point that Rav Shimon only allows you to say the Bidyevin. If you're going to say that it's talking about where the vegetables were already soaked into oil, then you have no way of understanding the mission that way. Why would the Chachamim say that once it's soaked and there's no salvaging the situation that you shouldn't go ahead and cook it? So,
when they mix the meat, it's more hummer than here.
No, it's the same kind of thing. The meat is already mixed, therefore there's no choice. You have no choice. If you want to have them eaten, you're going to have them eaten according to the more stringent criteria. The same thing over there. If the vegetables were already mixed into the oil, you have no choice but to go ahead and cook them. Not cooking them is not going to make a difference. Beer is still going to apply regardless. So, yeah. So why would the Chachamim say any differently? Incidentally, by the way, as far as this halacha of vegetables and oil that Amman writes, and this is the halacha, that we're not talking about over here, really, if you're just cooking a small quantity of it where it's going to be eaten before the time of beer, then there's no problem with it. We're talking about when you're cooking a large quantity where there's reason to be concerned that it may not be finished by beer time. Okay, anyway. All right. Master for Ravina. So Ravina challenges that. So you're telling me, therefore, that you're telling me that you think the case of vegetables soaked in oil is similar to the case of the mixed up pieces of meat in our Mishnah. Me dummy, says Ravina, how is it similar? When it comes to pieces of meat of different carbonates that are mixed together, there's taken nothing you can do with it. There's nothing that you can do to identify which one was from which one. So therefore you have no choice but to eat them, to have the kohen eat them in the azara, etc. Hi, it's Betakanta, it's Chita. Whereas over here, when it comes to the vegetables, on the face of it, you do have a way of fixing up the situation. You squeeze the vegetables to get the oil out of them. Hold on. That's the Gemara's point. But the Ravina is asking that on the face of it you could. And therefore, so in other words, if you were to cook them, then yeah, the oil is going to get completely absorbed into them. So maybe that's why. Maybe we could use, Rabba could still understand the Mishnah in Shavuot according to his Shita, that Rav Shimon only allows such things to be added. So Rav Shimon would say, fine, once the vegetables are mixed up with the oil, then fine, we're not going to force you to squeeze them out. Go ahead and be mocked with them, just like, you know, just go ahead and cook them, just like in our mission, and go ahead and be mocked with the mixed up carbonates. But if they were already, where the Chachamim would say, don't go ahead and cook them, because there still is a way to salvage the situation. You could squeeze the oil out of them, whereas if you were to cook them, then you're not going to be able to do that either. However,
would you have to squeeze every drop of oil?
Well, Rav Yosef, what would Rav Yosef answer to that? Why he can't accept that way of learning the Mishnah? Because he would say, hey, she nitzchay. How are you supposed to accomplish that? How are you supposed to squeeze them? Nitzchay tshuva, are you supposed to squeeze them a lot, like really pulp them out, come back to the shvi'ah? Then you have a problem that you're ruining shmitah. You have one of the rules that shmita food is ochlov loylahestin. Shmita food is given to you to eat, not to ruin. If you were to squeeze it out so much that you're gonna get out pretty much every molecule of oil, then you've destroyed it. It's not really gonna be edible anymore, and you can't do that. Nitzchot porta, and if you're gonna say you don't squeeze out all of it, you only squeeze out some. So especially you're ruining the arrow, but you still have some of the oil still in there, so you haven't really accomplished anything. Therefore, says Rabbi Yosef, you can't possibly learn the Mishnah and Shmias as talking about where they've already been mixed together, the Dieved, and now the question is, can you cook them or not? Because the question is it possible to squeeze it out or not? It's not really possible. Therefore, we have to understand the Mishnah over there is talking about a lot of case. Are you allowed to put oil in a frying pan, oil of truma in a frying pan, and cook vegetables or Shmias in it? And Rav Shimon is saying yes. So there you go, says Rabbi Yosef, there is another proof against Rabba. That Rav Shimon allows for the thing, not only the Dieved, like in our Mishnah, but even on the thing. Which means, therefore, that the original Braisa that we said, we're gonna have more discussion about it, but so far, yeah. So we have Ravina understands differently, but that's how Rav Yosef, Ravina says he can maybe make the Mishnah work according to Abba, but Rav Yosef says no. But yeah, so far what we have is that Rav Shimon would say that you're allowed to do such a thing even on Chila. which would mean, therefore, that the original braisa we quoted at the beginning of the sugya on Ayin Hayom and Beis, where we said that you're not allowed to take money of shnitzah fruit and use it to buy truma, Reb Shimon, we're saying, would not agree with that concept. He would say you are. Okay. Aseh, fine. The Gemara continues. He brought another contradiction against him. This is the Kashkus again, Abaya bringing another contradiction to Rabbah. That you're saying that Reb Shimon says, you can't do it like a chila and whereas I'm saying you can. You have a Mishnah as follows. You have a scenario as follows. Now, we know that in the Torah, we know between Rabbah and Abaya and Rabbi Yosef about the ins and outs of Reb Shimon's shit. The halacha is not like Reb Shimon. The halacha is not like Reb Shimon. The halacha is like a chachamim. But nevertheless, we want to clarify what Reb Shimon's opinion is. Okay. You have a case as follows. Now we know that in the Sora, when his parah is healed, so he goes through several stages of parah. His final stage is that he brings a series of korbanos. He brings three korbanos, three animals if he's three animals if he's rich, two birds and one animal if he's poor. Plus he brings along with him the sachim. Plus he brings along with it a lug of oil. Where that lug of oil, we learned earlier in the Sefer, part of it, there are seven sprinklings of it are done. Rashi actually in our sugya learns that the sprinklings is actually the Kohen goes into the Heichal and sprinkles them there in front of the Parosh. Tosfos argues on that and says that no, it means that he stands out in the Azara and sprinkles them towards the Heichal. Whatever it is, yeah, then he dips in his finger and puts some on the Mitzvah's ear, some part of his ear, Tznuch Oznei, the ear lobe, or the ear cartilage, or whatever different opinions, and his thumb, and his right thumb, and his right big toe, yes. And then the rest, he puts some of it on the Torah's head, and the rest the Kohenim eat. It's one of the 24 minor Torah. Now, let's consider a scenario. The Braisa that we're going to quote over here is part of a longer Braisa that discusses a scenario where you have a number of spaces. Hello. You can have a case where there's a number of spaces involved. First of all, you can have that this person, besides being a Masoda, he was also a Nazir. He had previously been a Nazir, where way back in the theft of Nazir, we learned that Nazirus is temporarily suspended for his Parah, but then he still has to finish it. So he was a Nazir at the time he became a Masoda, right? So you can have a case where you have a series of fakest one on top of the other. You have a case over here that the person was a Nazir at one point. We know he was a Nazir, but we have a suffix whether he became Tomei during his Nazir, Tomei Mes, that is. Furthermore, we have a suffix about his Sarah. Was he Mukhlas? Was he confirmed to be a Masura? Or was he not? So then you have a rather complicated case about what he should do as far as his korban. The problem is that the problem comes in. So first of all, as a nazir tomei, he would have to bring a series of korbanos. As a nazir tahor, he would also have to bring a series of korbanos. There's a certain overlap between them, but not totally. As a masurda, he would also have to bring korbanos. And as a masurda, the various parts of his tahara involve shaving a couple of times. And as a nazir tomei, it also involves shaving and restarting his nazirus. And as a nazir tahor, it also involves shaving. But
what goes to what?
So you have some very complicated cases. So what ends up happening is like this. Suppose we have a suffix whether he's a nazir tahor. So he goes, he waits 7 days until his tumah is over, and he goes, during that 7 days, he has paradrum of water sprinkled on him, then he shaves, and he brings his korban. Now he has to start over again. But now, he starts over again, but the problem is that he may have been all along another tahor. Another tahor, you need not just 7 days. Again, he shaved the first time because he may have been a masurah. But but and he may have also been a Nazir Tamei. But now between the shaving of a Nazir Tamei and the shaving of a Nazir Tahor, you have to wait a minimum of 30 days because Tam Nazirus Shloshim Yom. And that's mind you, that's by the way only if he said that a Nazirus to begin with is only 30 days. If he had said, we had a scenario in Nazir, for example, where he says that a Nazirus is for 10 years, then he has to go 10 years between these shavings, and then the whole process ends up taking 40 years. But here we're talking about, let's say it was a standard Nazirus of 30 days. Anyway, so that's when he was a Sopik Nazir Tomei and Sopik Nazir. So what happens is, therefore, so now instead of just waiting another 7 days, as he would had he not been a Nazir, he would have only had to wait 7 more days for his second shaving as a Masada. Instead, he has to wait 30 days. Then at that point he has to bring Korbanus, because he may have been a Nazir Tahor, and a Nazir Tahor has to bring Korbanus. And it goes from there. It continues for there. It's a whole long scenario over there. He has to say that some of his korbanos, he can bring his oila, for example, and make a tanai on it. If I'm a nazir tahor, then I'm required to bring this oila at that point. If not, then it's a nedava, because an oila is something that you can voluntarily give. And you go through like that. You go through like that with the whole scenario of his korbanos. So eventually there comes a point when he's definitely finished with his taras and his tumas mes. And at that point he's able to eat kodshim again. But now you have to wait a further 60 days for him to finish with the possibilities of having been a nazir tamei and a nazir tahor, and to be able to do his final set of korbanos and shave and be mutter to drink wine and become tamei mes again. So altogether, the whole process ends up taking 4 months. Or four times the length of the Nazir. So 4 months, so it was a 1 month Nazir, 40 years, or the 10 year Nazir, etc.
Four times because
you have all the different possibilities. He may have been another Tomei, he may have been another Tahor, he may have been Tomei Mess, he may have not, so you have that stuff. He may have been in the third of Mukhlas, he may not have. So in order to work through all the possibilities, you wind up having to...
Every time you have to add,
right. And that's the thing. No, it's 4 times. No, it's 4 times altogether. I can bring up over here the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Nazirus, where he summarizes the situation. So let's say, for example, that Rambam starts as follows. Let's say a person made a Nazirus for 1 year. During that year, he was a Sopik Masorah and a Sopik Tamei Mes.
Right.
Or during the whole year, he was a Sopik Masorah, and towards the end of the year, he became a Sopik Tamei Mes. So he waited 7 days. Then he does part Adrama, the third and the seventh day. He can't shave on the seventh day because he may not be another Tamei, and therefore his time is not up yet to shave. He may be another Tahor. If he was another Tomei, then he could, because then fine, his Nazirus stops when he became Tomei anyway, then he counts for 7 days.
Sorry,
then he'd have to wait until the end of his Nazirus. So wait. Okay, so what it is like this, hold on. Because he's also a Sopik Masorah, and a Sopik and a Masorah needs 2 shavings, so he does like this. After 1 year is over, he does the first shaving like a Masorah would do. At that point is also when he does the thing that's described at the beginning of Parshas Masorah, where they have the two birds and the cedar wood and the azoid and so forth that the Kohen sprinkles on him. But now, this way, so if he wasn't a Tamei Mes and he wasn't a Masorah, then that counts as his Tiglach HaTahara, that counts as a shaving at the end of his Nazirus. If he was a Masorah Vadai, if he was a real Masorah, then that's his first Tiglach of a Masorah. The problem is also that you can't have the same shaving, can't do double duty. You can't have it. You shave your hair, and it counts for the end of the Tanakh and for the end of the Nazir. Therefore, you need a separate shaving for each one. That's what it boils down to, basically. I mean, again, you can continue. We can go through and draw out the exact scenario, but he has to, each time, he has to wait. He has to wait another term of Nazir. Then he does what would be conceivably the second shaving of the Masorah, because again, normally a Masorah would do them 7 days apart, but here he can't do that because he may be a Nazir, and as a Nazir, he has to wait in between. Then, at that point, he brings his Korbanos of Masorah, and at that point, he's able to eat Kodshim. Now, for sure, his Taras is over and done with. And then, like I say, Tosfos discusses over here based on the various Gemaras and other places that you have a little bit more complication with that as far as his Karbanos, because his Ola, for example, he can bring. He brings an Ola either way. If he's required to, then I'm required to bring an Ola, and if not, then if not, then it's an Adava. With some of the other Karbanos, you have to have different Shnoyim that he has to make. Okay. Then he wastes another term of Nazirus. Then he does another shaving, because what if he had been a Masurda but not a Tomines? And therefore that first shaving didn't count. But now he has to do a third shaving. And then eventually after a fourth term, then he does a fourth shaving, which would be his Siglaka Para for Nazirus.
So to summarize, The first tiglachas
to take care in case he was a Masurah. The second one in case also he was a Masurah, where he needs at least seven days between the Hilchot. The third one in case he was another Tomei. And the fourth one for Nazirus Tara.
The first starts with Masurah.
The first two are from Masurah, the third, yes.
And Nazirus
Tomei is fine.
Basically.
Yeah. Okay. Again, and then again, as far as the actual korbanos that he brings, it's a little more complicated than that. You actually have at the very end of Masechta Nida, so we'll get to this in a year and a half. That's the same. You have 12 questions that the Anshei Alexandria asked Rabbi Yeshua. One of them, which is also in the last Mishnah of the Goyim, is what about if you have a problem over here that certain of the korbanos that he's supposed to bring over here he has to bring, for example, a chassid. You can't bring a chassas just like that in case you need to. A chassas is not bob and neder and a dubba. So what he has to do, actually, if he's rich, he would have to, Rabbi Yeshua tells them, he would actually have to sign his nechassim over to somebody else, and now he's an oni, and now he can bring birds, and a bird chassas you can bring out of. Anyway, so let's get back to our Gemara over here. Okay. Sort of Shimon says in this connection, what did he do as far as bringing his osham? The osham is also supposed to be accompanied with a loig of oil, the loig that we were talking about before. This is the Masurda we're talking about. Well, this is the person. He may have been a Masurda, he may have not. That's the problem. But as a Masurda, he would have to bring an osham. As a Masurda, he would have to bring an osham. So, l'machos, the next day. So Rashi says the next day means actually the eighth day. So strictly speaking, we don't mean the eighth day, we mean the 30th day, or the 60th day, whatever. The point is that maybe Asham is a lug of Yimai, he brings his Asham, he brings along with it a lug of oil, like a Masurda is supposed to do, but Omer, and he says like this, in Shom Masurda, if I'm bringing these Karbanos at this point because I was a Masurda, because after all, we have a topic whether it is a Masurda. Hareza Asham is a lug, then good, this is my Asham and this is my lug, like I'm supposed to. The Im, I'm sorry, I'm bringing an Asham together with a lug of oil. The Im lab, and if not, then since I'm not required to bring an Asham at this point, because a Nazir doesn't bring an Asham, if I was not a Masurah, Asham Zeshal Shamin Yidava, then this Asham instead will be a Shlomim that's brought as an Yidava, which fine, a Shlomim you can bring as an Yidava.
Again,
similar to our Mishnah, where you had Korbanos that were mixed up, and you said, Rav Shimon says, what you do is you're makriv each one of them, having in mind, if this was the Asham, then I'm being makriv and having in mind as an Asham, and if not, I'm makriv and having in mind as a Shlomim, and that works.
You can change an Asham into a Shlomim.
No! You're shechting the Asham having in mind, you're shechting animal number one having in mind. If this originally was the animal which is an Asham, then I'm shechting it now as an Asham. And if not, then I'm shechting it as a Shlomim. And similarly with the other three Avodas. So I'm not changing it into another Korban. I'm just saying, I'm making a snack. The same way over, and the same thing by each of the four Avodas. The same thing over here, Rav Shimon said, you can do the same thing. You can bring an Asham making a snack like that. If I'm required to bring this Asham, then it's an Asham. And if not, then it should be a Shlomim. Because after all, the Avodah of them is different. No, the Chacham disagree with that, but wait, we'll get to that in a minute. But Oisei, right now we're focusing on Rav Shimon. But Oisei Asham Tolan Shchita B'Sofon, now that Asham is going to have to be treated to be on the safe side, it's going to have to be treated like an Asham. Tolan Shchita B'Sofon, it's going to have to be shechted on the north side. Umatan Bahonis, it's going to have, the blood of it is going to have to be applied to the ear, thumb, and toe of the Masurda, or the Sofik Masurda, that is, as if it was his Asham. Usmicha, it also is going to require smicha, like it also is going to require smicha, choices, the stuff over here, as a shlomim, it would require smicha. As an asham, as an asham mitzvah, not necessarily, Tosis mentions, we had earlier in the Masechta, whether an asham mitzvah, b'chlal, requires smicha. So what we would say is over here, in that case, since you can't do full smicha on it, because it might not be, and it might not be a shlomim, it might be an asham, and then you would be doing avoided in part. Well, the problem is, because if you're not, then you, then if you're not, then you're doing a boida, you're doing a group of conscience, and you're leaning on it. In this case, Tosa says, what, according to that opinion, if you, again, if you say an Hashem the Third requires smicha, then fine, either way, you do smicha on it, no problem. But if you say an Hashem the Third doesn't require smicha, then what you would do over here is a kofas yad, you would just lean gently on it.
Wait, the case again, the person is
Sufik? Sufik mitzvah and Sufik that he was a nazir chamur. So at this point, we're dealing
with...
If he was both, that's why we're saying that he'd have to first do one tiglachas for his saras and one and one.
But if he was both,
The thing is like this. If he was a vada, if he was a vada chomemes and vada meserda, then things would be much simpler. He would still have, to do all these shavings, but he wouldn't have to wait quite so long between them. He would only have to wait 1 week between one and the next. And he wouldn't be bringing korbanos ala sofik. He'd be bringing korbanos as a vadai. He'd be bringing separate sets of korbanos. Right. The problem is we're dealing with over here that he may have been a mitzvah. Well, maybe. Okay, fine. Maybe he did.
Because it's a sofik and a sofik, and that he's both.
Speck would be one topic inside. It's two unrelated things. Okay.
But still, would be a topic on top of this topic.
No.
Which would make it very unlikely that both the there would only be at least 25%.
Okay, that doesn't matter. The point is, okay, that doesn't matter. The point is, the point is, whatever korbanos he's able to bring out tonight, we're going to have him bring out tonight. And Rav Shimon says that one of them is the Osham. He can bring the Osham out tonight. He can do, he'll do smicha on it. So again, Tosha says, if you say that both a shlomim and an asham mitzvah require smicha, then fine, he does smicha on it the usual way. If not, then what we'd say, if you say that an asham mitzvah doesn't require it, then we would say, in this case, to be yotz the smicha, for the shlomim, he just does a gentle smicha. He just puts his hand on top. Meaning that an Hashem Mitzvah, there's an opinion, we learned earlier in our Masechta, that Hashem Mitzvah does not need smicha. So in that case, in order to be on the face side, therefore we would just do a kapas yad, just put his hand gently on it. Okay. Fine. Or nesachim. Either way, the korban requires nesachim, because again, actually, Tosfos says here it's either way, whether it's an Asham or a Shlomim, it's going to require nesachim anyway. Or tnufas kaz v'shoy, we're going to have to treat it as if it was a shlomim insofar as waving the chest and the thigh of it before you give them to the kohenim, as you do with a shlomim. V'nechal l'yom v'layla, and you eat it only for one day and one night, as if it was an asham. So therefore we see that Rav Shimon is saying that even like a chila, you're allowed to do such thing, because you didn't have animals mixed up in the first place. And yet Rav Shimon is saying, go ahead and bring this asham, having in mind that it may be an asham, it may be a shlomim, and treat it as a hybrid. So that confirms Rav Yosef's point and Abaya's point that Rav Shimon allows it even like a chila, and not rather that it's b'diavad. However, the Gemara says that's not a proof because takune gavra shayim. It's different in this case over here. You're doing it in order to fix up the situation for the person. Meaning, without that, if we didn't allow him to bring his asham, he would never be able to eat kodshim again. Because to be once he's a mitzvah, at once he becomes eventually when he becomes tahor from saras, he's a mechoser kapara. And what makes it that he's allowed to eat kodshim again is bringing the asham. Therefore, for the sake of allowing him to eat kodshim again in the future, Rav Shimon would allow it in this case, even though normally l'hachila, he wouldn't allow it. In this case, it's sort of life of the Yevid situation.
To allow him to eat kodshim in the future.
Right. Now you mentioned before, the Chachamim disagree with this. Well, one, the Rambam understands that the Chachamim disagree with him in the, first of all, I mean, the Chachamim do disagree that they say that you can't bring an Asham, that you can't bring an Asham based on a Tanai like that again, because they say in the Kodeshim based on Thor. But more to the point, the Rambam says it doesn't matter. According to the Chachamim, the Asham is not Ma'akid anyway. He is not Ma'akid him from Yin Kodeshim. So therefore, fine, he won't bring the Asham. According to the Chachamim, the Asham is not Ma'akid, says the Rambam. Therefore, fine. He won't bring his asham.
And that's it.
No, the Rambam says that in Yad HaChazaka. In this scenario over here. in connection with connection with the scenario. Yeah, so he says over here. When it comes to, he says both. By Siglachas Tumah, when this guy shaves as a Nazir Tomei, and when he brings his Korbanos as a Masoda, the Osham and the Ola are not Ma'akim. So therefore, if he didn't end up bringing the Osham, no problem. So therefore, the Chachamim are going to say, so the Chachamim, in other words, according to the Rambam, this is a non-issue anyway. Because according to them, you don't have to bring the Osham, and in that case, we're not going to have you bring an Osham because, and make a Tanai on it, because according to them, no, you don't need it with the Kunei Gavra, you don't need it to fix up the person.
That's why they didn't want Tanai.
So they therefore say it's not even necessary. Don't bring it with a Tanai, where you don't even need it.
Yes.
The Raiva disagrees with the Rambam on that. The Raiva disagrees and says that as a matter of fact, the Osham, the Ravid says the Osham is Ma'akid. So either, does he mean according to the Rabbanon? Maybe he means according to the Shimon, or maybe he means even according to the Rabbanon, which actually the Lachem Mishnah says over there, apparently what it would mean according to the Ravid, it might be that in fact you have no way of fixing up the situation. The person is never going to be able to get caught.
So he would agree with
the Shimon. What? Not so much he would agree with the Shimon. No, Pachek. He would say he would agree with the Chachamim. We would say that the Ravid agrees with the Chachamim, but he says, the unlike the Rambam who learns that the Osham is not Ma'akid, the Ravid would learn the Osham is Ma'akid. He learns it from a mission in the Goyim, might think, whatever. The Nice Kalim and the Rambam have a field day with the whole thing.
Good thing that someone learned this Rambam and the Nice Kalim, because I didn't get a chance today, did you?
It's not today's Rambam. Anyway.
It's not today's Rambam.
With that said, though, we're going to see further at the end of the sugya, right before the Mishnah, we're going to get to maybe another possibility of being able to bring this Asham, which might, according to some of the poskim, might work even according to the Chacham. So we'll get to that. Okay. But let's continue the sugya.
For the time being,
we're saying that we're dealing with Rav Shimon right now. According to Rav Shimon, therefore, we see that you're able to bring this Asham, but the answer is that's different because it's a Kunei Gavra, and therefore Rav Shimon is saying we'll make an exception to the rule and allow you to do it. Okay. Fine. But now, since we're talking about Rav Shimon's opinion, now we may as well go and continue analyzing his opinion and figure out Atenach Asham. Okay, so that explains how you do the Asham, because the Asham can be brought as a suffix. It might be an Asham, it might be a Shlomim. Lug my Ikalamema. What about the lug of oil? How are you bringing that Allah suffix? You can't stand bringing a lug of oil like that. Well, the answer is maybe you can. The answer is he could say maybe that the lug, that if it's not needed for the Masada, then I'm bringing it as an adama. Now we have an opinion later on the sector that says that you're able to be menadav oil by itself, that you're able to be menadav oil as a carbon by itself.
You can even be menadav wood.
Right.
So then it
doesn't count. No. So again, you'd make a tanya on it, it says your shimon. That if I need it for a masoda, then it's a masoda, and if not, then I'm bringing it as an adama. Well, again, according to the chum, this is a non-issue anyway, because you don't have to bring the osham, and you don't have to bring the look, if it's not massive. Right. Okay. Fine. Now, Tosfos points out that
the chum would say if it was not, then you still couldn't bring it because it was not.
No, because in the case of the log, we're not really dealing with Mavi and Kotch Mabeta Sol. We're going to see, as we go through the study over here now, you have different issues. The problem is that if you're bringing it as the log of the Masorah, what are you doing with it? You're doing the seven sprinklings, then you're putting it on his ear, thumb, and toe, and the Kohenim are eating the rest of it. If you're bringing it as a carbon, what would you do? You'd take the Kohenim of it and burn it on the Mizbeach. And the rest of it would also go on the Mizbeach. Oh no, the rest of it rather would be eaten by the Kohenim. So that's where we have to figure out how we would satisfy both of these conditions without violating any of the rules. Now Tosfos points out that on the face of it, we don't have to be menad of it as a korban at all. All we have to do is say that it should be kedushas domim al shnai. Say that if needed for the masoda, then I'll do the avodah for the masoda on it. And if not, then it should only have kedushas domim, and it'll go to hektish. And then when the kohenim want to eat the rest of it, then we'll redeem it. We'll buy it back from hektish. Tosfos says, fine, in principle they could do that, but we would, the Gemara assumes that we would rather try to say that we're going to do the Avodah with something that definitely has Kedushas HaGuf. You don't want to have that you're going to be doing the, you don't want to have that you're going to be doing these procedures with this log of oil for the Masoda on something that may have Kedushas HaGuf or may only have Kedushas Dom. So therefore we have to find a way that it'll definitely have Kedushas HaGuf one way or the other, but nevertheless be able to satisfy the rule. Okay. So the question is again, so what are you doing to log? Okay, you're saying you make the lug in a dump. The problem is the doom will not masurda. Okay, but what if he wasn't a masurda after all? Or burn the kamis, and in that case, the rule when you bring oil as an independent carbon is you have to take a kremis from it, same as you would do with a carbon maker. Now, how do you take a kremis from oil? The Tosfos Yomtov wants to say that, in fact, you can't, because oil is a liquid after all. You can't very well take a kremis from it. So the Tosfos Yomtov and Menachos learn. The Tosfos Yomtov, therefore, in Menachos, learns that all it means is you figure out what the amount of a kremis would be. A kremis, typically, the Gemara tells us elsewhere, is 2 kazetsim. So you take 2 kazetsim of the oil and pour it into another keli and call that the kremis.
You take 2 kazetsim
of oil and a keli? You take 2 kazetsim of oil and pour it out into another keli, and that would be the kremis.
You can't do that. You couldn't do that.
That's how the Tosfos Yomtov learns, because you have no other way. On the other hand, in Menachos, in a Gemara in Menachos, Rashi and Tosfos and Rabbeinu Gershom over there talk about that maybe in fact you would literally take, especially Rabbeinu Gershom over there says, maybe you literally would take a kremis, and that you would actually have to maybe cool it off, cool off the oil enough that it becomes waxy or something so that you can physically take a kremis from it. Whatever it is, the point is, somehow you have to take a kremis from it and put it on the mezeach, yeah? So how are you going to do that over here? So the Gemara says, okay, no problem. Demokamis, you do exactly that. Who says you can't take a kremis from it? The problem, though, is then you have the other way around. You do a masurda. What if the guy really is a masurda after all? Uboi matan sheka. And then, instead of taking kremis from it, you're supposed to be doing 7 sprinklings from the oil. The answer is, yeah, okay, so you do the 7 sprinklings. But now we have a problem. If you're doing the kremis and then the sprinkling, then the problem is the hachotzele. Then the problem is that when it comes to do the sprinkling, it's not a full lug anymore, and it has to be a full lug at the time of the sprinkling. Because not so you took out a kremis, you took out 2 kazetsim from it. So therefore, it's not a full lug anymore. So the point is, in other words, so now how are you going to do the matan sheva? If you're telling me that you first take kremis from it and then you do matan sheva, you can't do that because the matan sheva has to be done from a full log of oil.
For the masurda.
But you don't know whether he's a masurda and the kremis would be if it's in the double. Right. So you can't do that. So you can't do that. So that's the question. So it's missing. Some of it is missing now. Okay, the answer is the mighty kucha or molly. Fine. What you do is after you take out the kremis, then you refill it with a little more oil, and then you do the 7 matanis from it.
You can do that?
Yeah, on the face of it, you can, but that's what we're going back and forth and discussing, and discussing about this. You take a kremis of oil, you put that in a keli that's going to be burnt on the mezeach, then you take some other oil, another 2 kazetsim of oil, refill the container of the lug, and then go ahead with the 7 sprinklings. Okay. Fine. Ditznan, and in fact, we learn in the Mishnah. If you're coming to do with the sprinkling of a lug, in a regular case, never mind the case of status over here, a regular case where you're doing this, where the Masurda brings a lug of oil and you're doing the sprinkling, and we say that if some of the lug spilled or otherwise is missing, before you get to do the 7 sprinklings, or before you put it on his ear, thumb, and toe, etc., you might want to, then you refill it and continue. So the same thing over here, you can refill it. The problem is v'haboy haktara. The next problem is, what do you have to do with the kremis that you took out? You have to burn it on the mezeach. Because after all, maybe it wasn't a dova, and that's what you're supposed to do with the kremis. Okay, so what's the problem? The afterlife, so you go ahead and then be mad with it. But now the question is AMAC. When are you being MAC with it? Where are you going to satisfy all the conditions? E bottom matness shepa. Are you going to say that what you do is like this? You're going to say that you take out the koimus, you put it in a sea shoris, then you go ahead, you refill the container and do the matan sheva, and now you're going to burn the koimus on the mizeach. The problem is with that, have a shirayim shechosru ben knisalak tara. At this point, you have the leftovers of it. We're treating this oil much like a korban mincha. The rules that are done with oil that's brought in the is pretty much the same as a korban mincha. You take out a koimus, you burn it on the mizeach, and the koimus eat the shirayim. The problem is that in this case, because you already did the 7 sprinklings, now you don't have the remainder of the full amount. So now you have shirayim, you have a leftover amount, you have the leftovers after the koimus is taken out, shechosru ben knisalak tara, which are missing, some of it is missing, between the knisa and the burning, and the ein makir nes koimus aleihem. And you're not allowed to burn the koimus on behalf of that. If you have a regular korban mincha, so you bring any sotah in a flour, and you take out the koimus from it, then after that, some of the shirayim spill, or otherwise get lost, you're not allowed to be makir with that koimus. So over here, you have the same scenario, because if
any of it spill?
Right.
Even a tiny little amount?
Even a tiny little amount, yes. So that's the problem. Are you going to say it again? You take out the koimus, then you refill the container, you do the 7 sprinklings. The problem is now you're missing the amount of oil that went into those 7 sprinklings. Now at that point, you can't be makir with that koimus anymore. E koidem matnas sheva. Are you going to say that you burn the koimus before you do the 7 sprinklings? Then you have the problem. The problem is, we know that there's a din that any korban where you have certain parts of it are supposed to go on the fire of the mizeach, you have an issur in the Torah to be matched with other parts of it on the mizeach. So what are we talking about over here? Rashi says, we don't just mean being matched on the mizeach. We also mean, in this case, doing the 7 sprinkling. In other words, the classic case is as follows. Let's take a look here with a regular korban mincha. We know that the koimus is supposed to go on the mizeach, the rest of it is supposed to be eaten by the koyim. If you were to take some of the shirayim, some of the leftover that's left after you take out the koyim, and burn it on the mizeach, you would be over on this baal takir. Similarly over here, says Rashi, because that's how it is, because the Torah tells us that only the part that's supposed to be burnt on the mizeach is supposed to be burnt, and that's it.
And here you would be...
So here, we're not talking about burning on the mizeach, but here, because here we're talking about, let's say, you were marked with the koyim first, but the problem is that then you're going to be doing the 7 sprinklings, and the 7 sprinklings for that purpose is the equivalent of putting something on the mizeach, because this is the avodah that's supposed to be done with the oil, with the 7 sprinklings, and therefore you would be over that, how can you do sprinklings from it, where it may have been something that was actually supposed to, where part of it was actually supposed to go on the mizeach, namely the koimus that you just burned on the mizeach, and therefore you're not allowed to do any avodah with the rest of it.
In other words, it counts with it. You do half the other that's on the mizeach and half of the other that's for the sprinkling.
Sort of. Okay. Basically, I guess that's how it comes out. Right. We're saying, in other words, that, right, you can't split it. Let's say, fine, let's play it that way. Now, that's how Rashi learns it. Tosfos points out that in that case, the lashon of the Gemara is a little bit odd. Why are you mentioning baal takiru if you're not talking about the problem of burning on the mizeach? You're talking about the problem of sprinkling it. So therefore, and Tosfos has other questions on Rashi as well. So Tosfos learns rather what it means is that if you're going to tell me that you're taking the koimus and burning it on the mizeach, then maybe you didn't need to burn it on the mizeach, and then you have the same problem, that you're taking something that was supposed to be eaten by the koyanim, namely, if it was the loyd shemen of the mesoda, the rest of it after the sprinklings is supposed to be eaten by the koyanim, and you're taking some of it and burning it on the mizeach.
Either way,
the point
is the same time.
That's what it boils down to. Okay.
That's
what we have to figure out. How is Reb Shimon allowing you to do that when one way or the other you're gonna end up stuck, right? Okay. Amr of Yehuda, Breid, Reb Shimon, and Pazi, what you do is the masterful of the same Aesim. What you do is, when it comes to burning them on the Mizbeach, according to Tosfos, or when it comes to sprinkling it, according to Rashi, you have in mind as if it was wood. Namely like this. We know that there are things that you're not allowed to put on the Mizbeach. However, if you put them on the Mizbeach, having in mind that it's not a piece of a carbon, but rather, if as if it was firewood, then you're allowed to do that.
What was firewood?
Well, okay, according to Rashi, that we're talking about sprinkling over here, so we're talking about a looser sense. What it means is when you go to do the seven sprinklings, you have in mind, if this guy was a Masorah, and therefore you didn't need a Koymus in this case, because then it was being brought as a Loib Shem and Shom Masorah, then I'm doing a proper sprinkling over here, because then that's how it's supposed to do it. And if he wasn't a Masorah, and therefore the Koymus was brought properly, and now we don't need to do these sprinklings, then we're going to consider these sprinklings as if I'm sprinkling water in the Azara, and that would be allowed. Or, according to Tosfos that we're talking about over here, the problem is burning the Koymus, then you say the same thing when it comes to burning the Koymus. If it's required to burn it, because this is oil of Nedava, then I'm doing a proper burning of the Koymus. And if not, then I'm having in mind as if I'm putting more firewood on the Mizbeach, and that's allowed. Even though the substance itself is something that shouldn't be burned on the Mizbeach, but if you're having in mind that you're not doing it as a carbon, you're doing it as Lashem Eitzim, then that's allowed. That you can.
So if it was needed, then
it's being done as needed. And if not, then it's being done as if it was water or as if it was wood. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braiser, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, when the Pasuk says, L'reach Nichoyach, the Pasuk says like this. You have two back-to-back Pesukim in Vayikra. The Pasuk says over there, that Tichol Sa'or B'chol Vash Lo Tatsir Mimenu Isha L'Hashem. We say it every day, that all honey or fruit juice or whatever, or any chomet or any fruit juice, you know, to bring on the Mizbeach. Then the pasuk continues, korban reishis takrivu oisam Hashem, you're allowed to bring them, and you can bring them as a korban reishis, as a korim. Korban reishis meaning the korim, because you bring the korim of fruit. The elam is there, lo yalu, and also the shteya lechem with the chomet. The elam is there, lo yalu, lo reach nechayach, but they should not go on the Mizbeach to be a reach nechayach, to be a sweet smell, to be a nachas ruach haponesh ramar, even after the sonny. That's the point. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, when the prophet says reach nechayach, means you're iatamala, you're not allowed to bring chomet or fruit juice on the Mizbeach as reach nechayach, as a korban, ziv Hashem machas, avo atamala l'shem eitzim, but you're allowed to bring it on the Mizbeach, having in mind that it's just wood. But we can consider as if it's just firewood. So therefore, and that's what the pasuk is implying. By saying l'reach nechayach implies that you are allowed to bring them if you're not bringing them having in mind reach nechayach, if you're having in mind that it's just as if it was firewood. So therefore, you can do that in that case. Or again, if we're in Jadashi, we're actually going to bring them in the Zayach, we're talking about sprinkling it, but the same thing. In other words, you sprinkle it as if it was water. Interesting thing, by the way, I should have mentioned, when we're talking about over here, so if we're saying now that according to Rav Shimon, what you do is you may be makriv it, or you may be sprinkling it, having in mind as if it was water or as if it was wood, means that's not an avodah. A couple of the achronim asked the question, in that case, how are the achronim allowed to wear bigdei kahuna for that? The bigdei kahuna contains chatnas. They're only allowed to wear bigdei kahuna for their avodah because the bigdei kahuna contains. According to the Manda Omer, which is the halacha that the regular achronim's avnet contains chatnas, containing wool and linen, then they're only allowed to wear it for shas avodah. What are you doing over here? A couple of the achronim talk about it. The Shoyl Meshiv wants to say that basically he says it's similar to a person being forced to eat food where he's not required to make a bracha. Similarly over here, the Kohen is forced to do it because of the suffix. Therefore he's allowed to wear the begadim for it. And then the Beis Halevi gives a different answer. He says, the same way as we find the Kohenim are not required to take off their begadim the millisecond they finish the avodah, because the Gemara talks about elsewhere it's impossible, the same thing over here. They wear their bigdei kahuna to do some other definite avodah, and then while they're at it, they go out and do the suffix avodah as well while wearing the bigdei kahuna. Okay. Anyway. Fine. So far, so good. But the question now is, v'hal ikashirayim, deboi milinu, or mechlinu, really, you have now, the problem is at this point, fine, you've taken care of the koymus, you've taken care of the sprinkling, but now you have the remaining shirayim, which the koyim are going to have to eat, and fine, that they're going to have to eat, that they eat either way, because if it was a loib shemen of Masorda, then they get to eat the rest of it, and if it was a loib shemen of Nedava, they also get to eat the rest of it, fine. But the problem is, You're telling me that we said before, after you take out the claimant, we said you have to refill it in order to do the seven halal. The problem is the ikahach kosa delay comes from ilave. Now you have a little bit of oil in there. You have the two kazasim of oil that you added, which you did not do knitsa on behalf of because they weren't in the container when you did the knitsa. So how are the kohenim going to be allowed to eat that?
Does it what, the refill?
The refill. Yeah. The answer is the parikle. Okay, what you do with those, with what you do with that knitsa size piece, with that knitsa size volume of oil, is you redeem it. You buy it back from Hekdesh. You say like this: if he wasn't a Masoda, then we didn't need to add anything extra. So therefore, whatever I added over here is mecholo on this money, because like this, the only put exchange for money, and therefore that way, one way or the other, you can eat it.
And if it was,
then we don't need it. Then we don't need it. Then right. Then the money's in a dollar. Okay. The problem is the part of the part of my hecha. Okay, but where are you doing this pidyon? Where are you doing this the chil? E gavoi. If you're doing it in the azara, the problem is kama ayo chol ma'azara. Now what it amounts to is now you have cholin. You have two kazeisim of cholin in the azara, which you're not allowed to do.
It never ends.
Well, eventually it ends. But yeah. E avroi, and if you're telling me you're going to take it out of the azara and do the pidyon, it's the leviosis. This is kodshim kodshim. As soon as you, if it's a nedava, then it would be kodesh kodashim. If it was a korban nedava, if it was like a mincha, yeah. So you have a problem with that. The answer is, well, you can answer that after all you do it inside the Azara. But Chulun, Memela have you, and it's not a big deal because it is becoming Chulun, and you have Chulun in the Azara, it's true, but you didn't actually bring them in as, you didn't actually bring it in as Chulun. It became Chulun in the Azara. So that's okay. So that's not the problem. Tosfos discusses that actually there are other Gemaras that seem to imply that could be a problem, but again, over here the answer is we have to have some way of we have to have some kind of way of escaping the situation over here. Rashi asks at this point, why don't you make things a little simpler? Why don't you just say, like this, we were assuming all the time you have to first do the kindness and then refill it, and then that brought us into the problem, what are we doing with that refill? Why don't we do the other way around? Why don't we do first the seven sprinkling, then take out the kindness, and then continue from there?
Initially, we said
that you have to take out the koimis, and then afterwards you have to refill it and do the seven sprinkling. So Rashi says, why don't you do it the other way around? Do the seven sprinkling first. Rashi says the reason is because since you brought in this oil, having in mind that it may be for the mizbeach, because it may be required as oil of nedava, since you may be bringing it as oil of nedava, you can't now change it and say that I'm going to use it for the mesorah. Because then you're taking something that was supposed to go on the mizbeach and being ma'abed and then destroying it with your own hands by sprinkling it. So therefore, you have to take out the kohenim first, and then afterwards you can do the sprinkling because that's only the shirayim.
And if you do by the sprinkling first,
then you have a problem because then you've taken something that was supposed to go on the mizbeach and throwing it away. Yeah. Shitibuk Abbas gives a different reason, just the fact that it's not right to do the sprinklings, which is in order to be makshir the guy to eat korbanos ahead of the knisa, which is something that you're offering directly to Hashem. Fine. So now that we have all this, the problem is you're telling me that ultimately all of this is based on the idea that we're saying that the oil could be nedava. The Amr of Shimon ain't misnadvin shemen. Reb Shimon himself says later on in Amr Sefta that you can't be menadav oil by itself. So how does this whole thing work according to it? And again, the answer is tikkunei gavra shiny. It's different in order to fix up the situation for the person. Then we're gonna rely. B'di'evit, in a b'di'evit because case you can do that, right? Okay, Tosfos asks the question that if the Shimon is saying you can't be menadavin on a deraisa level, then how are we allowing him? Tosfos leaves it as a question. Tosfos leaves it as a question. Fine. Okay. Yosef Rav Chumi Kamed Ravina. One time Rav Chumi was sitting as a Talmud in front of Ravina. The Yosef Rav Shmeid Rav Huna Bat Shlipa, and he was sitting and saying as follows. Going back now, okay, so now we're done with the matter of the order. Fine. Now we're going to get back to the Asham. You're telling me before that Rav Shimon had said go ahead and bring the Oshem, having in mind that in case it's not needed for the Oshem, then we're going to bring it instead of the Shlom. The question is, Rav Huna bar Shachlifa asked, the name of Oshem Zeyeheh Oshem Tolri. Instead, why doesn't Rav Shimon say that you can bring it, having in mind that if I don't need it as an Oshem for the Masorah, then I can bring it as an Oshem Tolri?
An
Oshem Tolri is... the normal case to bring an Oshem Tolri is when a person has a suffix, whether they did an Aveira that makes them Chayiv Kares. Classic example, you have two pieces of chaylev in front of you, you ate one, the other one got lost, and now you're not, you had one piece of chaylev, one piece of shuman, you ate one, the other one got lost, and now you're not sure which one you ate. Then you bring an ushan tolerance. Right, well, you didn't know which you read. The point is, though, you have an opinion of Rabbi Eliezer in Masechta Krisis that says that a person is able to bring an ushan tolerance, even a double. Because he says a person can always be in a suffix whether he actually committed an Aveira, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer says that a person can be manad of an Asham Tolui. In fact, the Gemara mentions an Asham Tolui helps until the person definitely finds out. If the person ever finds out that he definitely ate the chaylev, he's going to have to bring a chaplain for it. So the Asham Tolui helps, to suspend any punishment until he finds that out. Right.
49
it's 48 times more expensive, yeah.
So what's the problem here?
But not a problem. Well, the question is, right, why doesn't Rav Shimon say, more simply, why do I have to do it as an Oshem that might be a Shlomim, and then we get into the whole thing of Ein Mevi'im Kotrim L'Beis HaPsul? Instead, why doesn't Rav Shimon say, bring it, having in mind, it's either an Oshem Nesoda or an Oshem Tolu? And since Rav Shimon is not saying that, Shmam, and the Gemara mentions in Krisis over there, by the way, that Bava ben Butta held by this opinion, and he used to bring an Oshem Tolui every day, except the day after Yom Kippur. So the day after Yom Kippur, we know a person definitely doesn't have any Aveda at that point. It's in Krisis. He's in Bava Basra in the story with Horodorus, he's in Besa in the story with bringing Oyel Sanyam. In case he had done, and he wanted to be on the safe side, in case he had done something. Okay. So says Rav Chomi, we see from that since Rav Shimon does not use that as an alternative, he has to say the Oshem is broader than Sopet Shlomim rather than Oshem Tolui. Evidently, Man Tana de Poli Galei de Rav Eliezer, Rav Shimon, who evidently, when we say that the Chachamim disagree with Rav Eliezer and say that you cannot bring an Oshem Tolui as an Adava, that must be Rav Shimon as the one who holds that way. Because that's why Rav Shimon will be saying over here you can't bring it. Well, at least we can see, therefore, that Rav Shimon holds that way.
Nobody else?
Maybe others as well, but at least we see that Rav Shimon is one opinion that disagrees with Rav Eliezer. If Rav Shimon agreed with Rav Eliezer, then he could say more simply, if you bring the Oshem, B'tnai, that if you need it for the Masorah, then it's an Oshem Masorah, and if not, then it's an Oshem Tolui. The fact that he doesn't say that means that Rav Shimon holds you can't be manad of an Oshem Tolui. You can only bring an Oshem Tolui if you're in a situation where you're not certain whether you do it. Yeah. Amalei, the Ravina tells him, Torah, where is the Torah of such a great person like you? Imri B'dichri Miklapilach, have you mixed up lambs with rams? An Oshem Masorah is a lamb within a year old. An Oshem Tolui is a ram at least in its second year. So what do you mean Rav Shimon, we have to say Rav Shimon is disagreeing with Rav Eliezer? Maybe Rav Shimon agrees with Rav Eliezer. He could be manad of an Oshem Tolui, but you can't put an animal over here that's both less than a year old and more than a year old. So now, what was Rav Chomi thinking, after all? I mean, shouldn't he have known the pasuk? So actually, there are Gersois of the Ramban that say that an Oshem Tolui can be in its second year or can be in its first year. Now, the Nosei Kalim on the Ramban say, based on various Gemaras, that apparently that's not correct, that there's a correct Gersois to be, that it has to be within its second year, an Oshem Tolui. But Rav Chomi may have, so one possibility is Rav Chomi may have understood like that, I mean, the Rambam didn't exist in his time, of course, but at least given that Girsa exists, there may have been such an idea floating around. Rav Chomi could have held like that. There's also an interesting idea that the Hafla brings in its Sefer, Ponim Yafas, who brings from his brother, Rav Shnelka. It's also brought in the Sefer of Chedushim of Rav Moshe Leib Sotever over the Talmud of Rav Shnelka, that basically, you have a Gemara elsewhere that implies, now we know a korban, we know the minimum age to bring a korban is when it's 8 days old. In general, though, you're only supposed to bring korbanos when they're a minimum of 30 days old. You have certain exceptions, but in general, you're supposed to bring them only when they're a minimum of 30 days old. There's a Gemara elsewhere, I think in Erchin, that that can be understood to imply that when do we start counting the 8 days or the 30 days or the year, when we're talking about a year, there's a year, when are we starting to count it from? Do we count it from when the animal is born? Do we count it from when it's 8 days old? There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that also bears on this. Do you count from when it's 8 days old or do you count from when it's 30 days old? Rav Nachumi may have felt then like this. Here we're talking about a korban that you may be required to bring as an Oshem Masara versus that you can voluntarily bring an Oshem Zoli. If we say that the year counts differently for each one of them, for one it counts when the animal is 8 days old and for the other it counts for when it's 30 days old, then you have a little leeway over there. You have a couple of weeks leeway when you can bring the animal, when, according to one way of looking at it, it's within a year of when it became Zoli for a korban, and according to the other way, it's not. However, Ravina tells him, very nice, but you're forgetting that there's a 1 month period when you can't bring a carbon as a sheep or as a ram. You have that 13th month when it's a palgus, when it's neither one nor the other. So therefore, you don't have those couple of weeks leeway, because then it would fall out during that 13th month.
You could,
but if you do, it doesn't count as either one. You could bring a carbon. You could bring the animal during its 13th month. But if you do, then you bring with it the nesachim for a ram, which is a larger amount of nesachim. But if you were required to bring a sheep less than a year old, then you're not yoseh. And if you were required to bring a ram, you're also not yoseh. So it's kind of neither here nor there. Yeah. So that's according to this explanation from Shmelka, is that's what Ravina is answering. In fact, they're very sharp. You could find that little overlap over there, but you're forgetting that whole 13th month is off limits anyway.
Like the solution we did.
Can we call that the ram and the lamb?
Previously we said, but yeah, maybe you could if you have no other
solution. No, but here it's not. But that's why Rav Shimon said you have a solution. Bring it as an Oshem, having in mind that it could be a Shlomim instead. The question was, why didn't he say, keep it as an Oshem, but it'll be either an Oshem the third or an Oshem problem. I mean, no, but again, then you have it. It either reaches. That's the point. That's what Quantum Yoffers is saying, is that even if conceivably you could argue that the year counts from different times, depending whether it's an obligatory carbon or a voluntary carbon, but you're forgetting, Reb Ruchumi, that you also have a whole month over there when you can't bring it anyway, because it's neither a lamb nor a ram. Yet. So therefore, that's what Reb Shimon says. You have no choice. You have to bring it as if it was partially an Oshem, and as if it was either an Oshem or a Shlomim, and therefore follow the different dinim for each one. Oh, so one more thing, by the way, is, so who is the halacha like as far as this business of being menadav and oshem toloi? So you have, there's a machlokas rishonim on that. Can you be menadav and oshem toloi or not? If you have some of the rishonim that learn that you can, and therefore, according to that, then, you have another way of salvaging the situation. Remember when we said that the Raivad learns that, when we said before that the Raivad learns that the oshem is required, and without that you can't eat kardshim. If the Raivad also holds, and it's not clear whether he does, he can be menadav an Oshem Toloi, then you have a way out of it. According to the Shimon, you're bringing it as an Oshem, might be an Oshem, might be a Shlomim. The Chachamim disagree with that, because the aim of being Kajum based up soul, but bring it as a might be Oshem, might be Oshem Toloi. If you also say that an Oshem Toloi can be an animal within its first year, like that deer served at Amram, so then you could conceivably make it work.
And who says you cannot bring an Oshem Toloi in your Dhamma?
That's, we said, Rabbi Eliezer said you could. We said other Chachamim disagree with him. We said that could be maybe Rav Shimon. But we said not necessarily.